Praise the Lord. Our God is great, and He's greatly to be praised. It's such a privilege to serve and worship Him, be here tonight to gather. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus for His goodness, mercy. Amen. Praise our God. It's not as easy as I thought it would be. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. I am so grateful that we know the Lord here tonight. I'm so glad that He's with us. And you know, it's wonderful how He proves Himself to us. I just thank God. I would like to ask prayer for a dear woman that I just met the other day. It was quite amazing, actually. But I was out for a walk, and I had thought I was going to go a different place, and it was kind of like the car just took me in another direction. And praise the Lord, I ended up at a different park, and you know, ended up parking near the end of it. And anyway, I was walking across the boardwalk, and anyway, it was quite amazing because I met a woman that was actually praying that God would show her what church to go to. And, you know, it was so remarkable. We had a very nice conversation. I had a track in my hand, and, you know, she thought it was almost like an angel giving her a track with a church. And you know, just to answer that prayer that she was praying. And I just thank the Lord. You know, we just don't know what He's going to do next. But I know He has a people. It's a people that need Him. Some have not yet come to Him. Some yet don't know Him. And, you know, I just wouldn't want to miss out on the great and wonderful privileges that God has for His people. Besides, we're in a time like no other time before. And how we need God's Word, how our hearts need to be stirred, and you know, how we need to be careful how we live, and make sure that we're living above deception and walking in truth and not going astray. Oh my, I know we talked about deception last week, and you know what it means to be deceived? It means to roam from safety, truth, or virtue, to go astray, to be deceived, to err, to be seduced, to wander out of the way. And oh my, here we are. God has shown us so many things, and the end is in sight. And all I know is there is a great need that we would hold on to the things that we have been given, that we would let no man take our crown. The end is in sight. We're seeing amazing things unfold before our very eyes. And how we need to be stirred. Oh, we need to be watching. We need to be waiting. And how we need to overcome. We need to overcome. Oh, this old world, this old flesh, and the devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about overcoming. And they that overcame Him. Praise the Lord is the title that I've given this message. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You again for Your mercy, Your kindnesses, Your love toward us. I thank You that You called us out of the darkness, Lord. I thank You that You have given us Your Word. And I thank You, Lord, that we can gather here. Oh, Lord, be it here in this building or at a distance, over line. Oh, God, online. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that You would talk to us. I pray that You'd move in our hearts. I pray that You'd give us that faith that we need, Lord. Oh, God, You know the battle rages. And here we are, Lord. Oh, God, we need understanding. We need faith, Lord. Oh, God, that faith to overcome this world, the victory that overcomes this world. I pray, oh, God, that You'd work in every heart, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that You'd move the mountains that need to be moved. I pray, oh Lord, that you would help that Michael who had that surgery, I suppose, today. Oh my, I pray that you'd help him, Lord. It was so serious, Lord. We're going to amputate a leg. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help that man, Lord. I pray that you'd talk to his soul. I pray, oh God, that you'd help him, Lord, to come out of that, Lord. Oh Jesus, but oh Lord, with that, I pray that you give him perception to see and understand thy word. Oh God, that he'd hear thy call. And oh Lord, that he would be right with you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we need you, Lord. And oh God, I thank you, God. I thank you that we can gather here. Oh God, I pray for that woman I met. Her name is Debbie, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that you would touch her heart. You continue to move in her, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that you'd help her, Lord. That you'd help her husband too, Lord. Oh God, for you know every detail, Lord. And God, you know every individual that we've encountered, that we've spoken with, oh Lord. Oh God, you know every need, oh Lord Jesus. I pray, oh Lord, that your spirit would move in hearts. Oh God, that people would be drawn to you in these last moments of time. I pray, oh God, that they would be strengthened with thy might from above, Lord. And oh God, that you'd help us here tonight. Oh Lord, let your word come forth, oh Lord. Give me the words that you'd have me to say, Lord. I know I can't do anything without thee, Lord, but I pray, oh God, that you'd minister to our hearts. And help us, I ask, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord. Help us, Lord. Give us faith, Lord. Work in each and every one of us, Lord, that we'd overcome the world. Oh, God, every temptation, Lord. Oh, God, the devil, everything that, oh, God, he tries to put before us. I pray that you'd give us victory over the world, in Jesus' name, over our flesh, over the devil. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God. Our God is so good. Oh, this minute, I'm not quite satisfied with this. Let me try this. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I hope that works. Is it okay, Samuel? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I must say, I had double duty today. I was reading the newsletter, and tell you what, my heart is stirred. It is really stirred. You know, when you watch the happenings of this world, or you just get even a little glimpse of it, you know, there's a lot. Oh, yes, it's coming forth on this earth. We're seeing so much. I know we all know that. You know, a year ago in March, a year and a half ago now for sure, and getting closer to 2 years, I guess. You know, we know that there was this breakout of this thing they call Corona, and, you know, became known as COVID-19, and oh my, you know, all the consequences that have followed. The lockdowns and the food shortages and everything else. On all the fear and everything else that was put in people's hearts as they feared that they might come down with this COVID. And the thing is, it just didn't happen in one place in this world, but it has pretty much impacted the whole earth. And, you know, as I was reading that newsletter, you know, we've talked about it so much. We know at this point that they are full of mandates. And New York City is especially full of mandates. In fact, you know, as I was reading that article, you know, and I believe New York City is pretty much the seat of the beast. I know, I've been there. Pastor David and I were there. We were there 14 times, as I recall. And yeah, we stood in front of the UN, the United Nations. We stood in front of the CFR, the Council of Foreign Relations. Yeah, we, you know about the Trilateral Commission and all of those things. Yeah, the seat of the beast. Oh, Statue of Liberty in the harbor. All those things. But oh my, here it is. And I know there's mandates in other places of this world. But here, yes, they have really gotten strict, or at least that is what they're trying to do. You know, they got this pass, and they're encouraging everybody to be vaccinated. And in fact, if you don't have that vaccination, if you don't have that piece of paper or that whatever on your smartphone to verify that you have been vaccinated, there are a lot of places you can't go. And just to read a little bit of the list as I was looking over that article, oh my, you know, it includes indoor restaurants, catering halls, event spaces, hotel banquet rooms, bars, nightclubs, cafeterias, grocery stores with indoor dining, coffee shops, fast food or quick service places with indoor dining. It includes places like gyms and fitness centers, fitness classes, pools, indoor studios, dance studios, places of entertainment like movie theaters, music and concert venues, and museums, aquariums, art theaters, bowling alleys, arcades, pool and billiard halls, recreational game centers, indoor play areas. And besides, even the young people, if you're a student age 12 or older, are not vaccinated, they don't want you to participate in any sports or extracurricular activities, including things like football or volleyball or chorus or band. I mean, this is what it's come to be. And yes, you know, they've given people this piece of paper that tells the dates when they have been vaccinated. And, you know, now they're working to have, you know, use smartphones to, you know, verify so you can, you know, show it on your phone, the QR code. And yes, I know Brother Samuel wrote about a man in Italy who actually thought, well, oh boy, I'm just going to, you know, get a little smart and, you know, not worry about a piece of paper or my smartphone. And he had the QR code tattooed on his arm. And what I ask, you know, they've made these mandates, and here in Wisconsin right now, it's not so bad. It's not so bad here in Beaver Dam. We can still walk around. We can still even walk around without masks, pretty much, in most places. And you know, we can go to restaurants at the moment. But, oh my, a lot of people have feared because if they didn't go along and be vaccinated, they were going to lose their jobs. And this, you know, it includes a lot of medical people and armed forces and you know, people that were in governmental positions. And so, even reluctantly, some people have gone forth to be vaccinated. I have a question. As we've seen all these things developing, I know some people, and I pray for these dear people who have walked away from their job, even though it means that they may not know where they're going to be working, but, you know, they fear God, I feel, and you know, they fear this vaccination, and they're not going to go forth with it. So they walked away. But here we are, this very perplexing time, this time of great deception and confusion. And I do ask, where is this going to lead? You know, if they're expecting you to have a piece of paper to verify that you've been vaccinated in order to get into places, well, how is that going to continue? You know, eventually pieces of paper, you know, kind of get crumbly, and you know, you might lose it, the wind might blow it away. And you know, even if they go to the smartphone to put that code in it, well, you know, you can lose your smartphone, you know, you could forget it. There's all kinds of possibilities. Maybe you don't even have one, like myself. But you know, where's this going to lead? because, oh my, with these mandates where they're saying that unless you are vaccinated, you can't teach in this school, or you can't be a city worker, or this or that, and you can't go here, and you can't go there. Boy, to me, it just sounds like we're in the book of Revelation. I'll tell you what, it sounds like we're up to the mark of the beast. And again, you know, there is that man in Italy, young man, 22 years old, who, you know, decided he was going to be tattooed with that QR code. Well, could it be that this will soon lead to them insisting that, you know, if we want to go places, we want to buy and sell, then we have to have that verification. And yes, they're going to put it, I feel, in the hand or in the forehead. All very likely that this is in the making. At least it sure looks like it to me. And oh, how we need to take heed. At these moments, we need to take heed that no man would deceive us, as Jesus warned in that 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. And as I think of this, I think, oh my, how the old devil, described as a dragon in the book of Revelation, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, oh yes, who's had this plan. Oh, this conniving, that, you know, this master plan that he wanted to rule this world. He wanted to be in charge. He wanted to take God's place. And oh my, we see that in the Bible. We see that from the beginning. I know that we went to 2 Corinthians a little bit last week, and just to go to a couple verses there at the moment, just want to just go over this a minute. Praise the Lord. Here in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, Paul was writing, and yeah, he had concerns. He had concerns. He said, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." And surely that was his goal. That was what he desired to see of those that he had brought to the Lord Jesus. But as I said, he had concerns about this church at Corinth. Verse 3 here in chapter 11 tells us, "But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Oh my, so there were concerns here that Paul had for these people that, oh, he had brought to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul was aware of the old serpent and his tactics, and how he can beguile, and how he can deceive, and how he did that in the beginning when he ushered in sin. We just go for a moment to the third chapter of the book of Genesis. We just review that story there a little bit. It tells us in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." In other words, more crafty and seeming to be more wise than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. "And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And of course, you know, I think here that serpent was upright at this point. I believe he was walking, and obviously he was talking. So here he's talking to Eve. And he's going to put doubts in her mind. He's going to take her by craft and subtlety to see if she'll give in and partake of that which had been forbidden for them to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. So he comes with a question. Verse 1, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. In other words, don't get too close to that. Stay away. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And oh my, so he's bringing it to another light, and he's making it look so enticing. Oh yes, oh, you know that? I mean, God knows it. You know, you're really not going to die if, you know, you eat of that, but your eyes are going to be opened. You know, it's going to be like you're going to be enlightened, and oh, you're going to see, you're going to be as gods. And you're going to know good and evil. Well, Eve didn't know anything about evil, so, you know, how could she relate? Besides, he's appealing to her pride and, you know, oh my, he's, you know, her curiosity and everything else. So verse 6 tells us, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Oh my, oh, the beginning of great sorrow and trouble. And oh, the beginning of fear, something that they had never known. They had never known these negative emotions before this moment. Verse 8 tells us, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. All at once, oh yes, their perception was opened, and all at once, they were going to hide from God. Oh, they had enjoyed this wonderful fellowship with God. Oh, as he walked with them in the cool of the day. Oh my, it must have been so glorious to have God fellowshipping with you. And here he comes. Verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And this is what God asked next. And he said in verse 11, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And of course, the man's going to play the blame game and say, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Oh my, and all we know, all at once, everything changed on that world that had been so perfect, without sin, without blemish, without any problems whatsoever, made in the perfection of God. And how they had enjoyed that wonderful privilege of walking with the Lord in the cool of the day, in the evening. Oh my, but all at once, here it is. That realization that they were naked and they were afraid. They were afraid of God. Oh, that's quite a thought. That's quite a thought, because there's a lot of people that are walking this earth right now, and you know, they may be somewhat aware that someday there's going to be a judgment seat, and someday they may have to stand before God. But you know, a lot of people think, you know, it's going to be okay. God's not going to see much wrong with me. But oh my, you know, if there's sin in one's life, when you stand before God, oh my, all at once you're going to know fear like you never knew it before. You're going to be so afraid. God, oh yes, Almighty God, who has come to judge this world in His righteousness. Oh, how we need to be right so we can stand before Him, so we can have boldness in the day of judgment. Oh yes, so that our slate is clean. Oh yes, so that we have repented from our sins and obeyed the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, how we need it. Oh yes. Adam and Eve, yes, they fell. The devil came with great subtlety, with great slyness and great trickery, and beguiled them. And oh my, they were taken in. Oh yes, you know, that fruit looked fine, you know, your eyes shall be opened, you know, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil, and you know, wow, it sounded good. And then they looked at that fruit and saw it was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desire to make one wise. In other words, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Oh my, all at once it was over. That fellowship that they had with God, that perfect world, all at once all those negatives entered in. And yes, they did start to die. The cells in their body began to die. There was that day when they, oh yes, assumed room temperature and were no longer breathing, their heart no longer operating. Oh my, it happened. Oh, how we need to take heed right now, and how we need to overcome. Oh my, as I said, there is one who has had motives from the very beginning. His plan to be like God, to take over, to have His world. Oh yes, to bring it to pass, to bring forth all the people of the world together in servitude to Himself. But oh my, His day is coming. And praise the Lord, His plans are not going to be fulfilled as He has desired. Going to Isaiah chapter 14, I would like to read a little bit here. There was that day when Lucifer fell, for he was known as Lucifer. Oh, at that first, the holder of the light. And here, there are some exclamations made here. If we go to Isaiah chapter 14, look at verse 12. It asks, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Oh, there we see his goals, his ambitions. Oh, yes, he wanted to be as God, like the Most High. He wanted to ascend above the heights of the clouds. He wanted to sit in that place where God sits. Oh, yes, upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. Oh, yes, Job talked about that place where God is. Job, the 26th chapter and verse 7, oh, he talked about how it's God. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Yes, praise the Lord, there's that place in the north. Of course, there's that psalm. Seems to me we sang that psalm tonight. Oh, yes, praise the Lord, there from Psalms 48. Let's just go there a moment. Praise the Lord. Oh, it tells us where our God is. Oh, praise the Lord. It says in Psalms chapter 48, verse 1 and 2, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Oh, praise the Lord, our God. Oh, yes, there in the city of the great King. Oh, praise the Lord, that new Jerusalem that's coming down from God out of heaven. Oh, praise the Lord, that's where our God is. Oh, Mount Zion. Oh, yes. We're not looking for a place here on this earth. No, we're looking for the city of our God. Oh, yes, that place where our God reigns. And yes, here we have no continuing city, we read in the book of Hebrews. But we seek one to come. Amen. Yes, that's what we're looking for there from the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews in verse 14. Oh, yes, that city that is to come. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. And yes, the writer of the book of Hebrews, and we believe it was Paul, you know, said in that 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews in verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Praise the Lord, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Oh, praise the Lord, that blood that Jesus Christ shed, that we might have our sins forgiven. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that, oh, yes, we might stand before Him. Oh, yes, cleansed by the saving blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. But, oh, yes, the devil had those goals. Oh, he wanted to be like the Most High. And, oh, yes, he wanted to be where God is. I believe that's been his ambition. Oh, yes. Ever since he fell. Of course, you know, we can go to Ezekiel 2 to just read a little bit about him. Oh, quite revealing here. I'm just read a portion of Ezekiel chapter 28. And here, yes, there's a lamentation that is, you know, taken to the king of Tyrus. So it says in the 12th verse, and, you know, it's written here as Ezekiel is being told by the mouth of God, thus saith the Lord God, that thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Talking about this lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. And all here he's going to be addressing him. This is in verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. I believe Lucifer was very musical in that sense, and it was built in him. And it tells us in verse 14, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of stones of fire." Verse 15 tells us, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created." Oh, God had made him. Oh, yes, very talented, very beautiful. He was even perfect in his ways from the day that he was created. And the angels are created beings, aren't they? Spirits that minister, right, to the people of God. But oh my, this Lucifer, this angel who was very high up in that realm, was brought low because there was that moment when iniquity was found in him. Again, verse 15, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Oh my, that changed everything. And there he appeared in Eden, yes, the garden of God. Oh my, there he enticed Eve to take of that which had been forbidden to her. Oh my, through his subtlety, his craftiness, his ways. And oh my, his day is coming. Verse 16 tells us here in Ezekiel 28, "By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more." Oh, yes, his judgment is coming. Oh, and he knows it. He knows it. But you see, he was destroyed because his heart was lifted up. Pride entered into Lucifer, Satan, whatever name you want to give him. Oh, yes, it entered in. His heart was lifted up because of his beauty. And then, oh yes, that pride because of his wisdom and everything else. He thought he was so good. And then he had those ambitions. As it tells us in Isaiah 14, yeah, that, you know, he was going to be like the Most High. Oh my, he was going to sit among the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, the place where God is. Oh, he was going to be exalted. His throne was going to be exalted above the stars of God. Well, that's what pride does. Oh, it bringeth forth destruction. And oh, yes, Satan, Lucifer, oh, yes, was brought low because of the pride that entered into him and those ambitions that came forth. Therefore, oh my, now we know his doom is sealed. However, before the end, this devil knows that he has but a short time. And he is going about as a maniac, seeking whom he may devour. And he's going forth, oh yes, with that ambition to control this world, to bring it together into servitude to himself. Oh, so that he can be worshipped. You know, it's quite interesting because You know, we are told that he had plans even when Jesus was walking this earth. And if we go briefly to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, let's just read a little bit here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, looking at let's go to verse 6 to begin here. It says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught." You see, yes, the wisdom of this world is so fleeting. But Paul wrote here in verse 7 here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." And this is so curious here. Verse 8 tells us, "Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." You see, I believe the devil incited the Jews to have Jesus crucified, to take their blood upon themselves, that innocent blood that was the Lord's, and yet have him crucified, he who had never sinned. But you see, the devil wasn't privy to what God's plan was. Oh yes, God robed himself in flesh to come to this world to save us from our sins. Oh, he knew it would take his death on the cross there at Golgotha, there at Calvary. Oh yes, he knew what it would take. But those devils didn't know the plan. They didn't know the plan. And they thought if they could just destroy Jesus, it would be over. And the devil, could gain his advantage and take over, take the control that he's wanted. And so he used those willing vessels who gave themselves over to him there in front of Pilate. Oh, yes. Pilate thought surely they would not, want Jesus to be crucified. He offered them, Barabbas, but he thinking that, they certainly would not exchange an innocent one like Jesus for somebody like Barabbas, who was a criminal, a murderer. Oh, a thief. I believe he must have done almost every wicked thing you could imagine. But you see, all the devils were inciting those Jews. So, no matter what, they kept on crying, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." It wasn't sensible. Nothing added up. But you see, they were driven by the powers of the devils. And the devil thinking that, this was his opportunity to take control and to triumph, to gain his advantage, his one world and everything else that he had been looking for. But praise the Lord. Oh, there were great things that were done at Calvary. No, the price was paid for our sins. And there was a triumphing over sin. And besides that, Jesus disarmed the devil at Calvary. Amen. Wonderful things happened. Oh, just to read a few verses that tell us. Oh my, we're familiar with John, the 12th chapter. Before Jesus was crucified, he said in verse 31, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." You see, before that time, Satan had access to heaven. But oh my, things were going to be changing now, yes. We see that in the book of Job, that he could come to that realm and have a correspondence. But oh my, things were going to happen here as Jesus triumphed over death as he defeated death, as he was bringing forth salvation for his people. And so, yes, he said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Oh, praise the Lord, that lifting up signified the fact that he was going to be crucified on the cross. But oh, praise the Lord, in doing so, oh, he was gaining sons and daughters. He was redeeming his people. Praise the Lord, he was making salvation possible to those that would receive him, that would embrace his plan of salvation and come to him in repentance and surrendering of the heart. Oh, praise the Lord, he was triumphing over the enemy. Oh, yes. Oh, praise the Lord, he was doing a great feat. And yeah, all of the devils didn't know that. Because as we read there, they had known that they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But praise the Lord. Oh, there was a plan. And I'll tell you what, we're seeing all these things coming to pass on this earth right now. But let's remember, our God has a plan. Oh, yes, there's a reason why he's allowing all of this coming to pass right now. Oh, yes, because it's getting close to that time when he's going to gather his people together. Oh, he's going to call his people from the four corners of the earth. Oh, yes, and bring them together. He's going to gather that congregation together, his people from the north, from the south, from the east and the west. Oh, yes, we're going to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. Oh, people that have overcome, a people that know victory. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Luke, the 11th chapter, Jesus said here in Luke 11, verse 20, they had accused him of casting out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. And I'll tell you what, I just can't believe it, how they could, you know, put that on him. But oh my, when he was casting out devils, he was casting them out by the finger of God. Praise the Lord. He said in verse 20 here in Luke 11, but if I, with a finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Oh, it was an indicator that, oh my, God was bringing forth his kingdom into the world. He was bringing it forth to the man Christ Jesus, who was introducing it to his people. He was teaching the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And it was a huge indicator that the casting out of devils. Oh yes, it indicated that the kingdom of God had come to this world. And then verse 21 tells us, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. I was going to compare it to things that people were familiar with. But verse 22 tells us, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth and divideth his spoils. And I'll tell you what, that's what Jesus did at Calvary. Praise the Lord, he overcame the devil. Amen. He was stronger than the devil. He took away his armor. Praise the Lord, so that we, as the children of God, oh, through the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost, we have power, as it tells us in Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 19. We have power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise the Lord. And yes, Jesus said there in that 18th verse of Luke 10, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what was happening at Calvary. Oh, praise the Lord. Our Lord was triumphant. Oh, yes, he was bringing salvation to his people. He was redeeming his people. Oh, praise the Lord. And it would never be the same. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, because, oh, that plan of salvation would give us victory, the power to overcome this world, this flesh, the devil. Praise the Lord. We would have power to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. Oh, praise the Lord. And by not loving our lives unto the death. Oh, praise the Lord. Colossians, the second chapter. I don't want to miss this beautiful verse here. Now let's just read a little bit more. It tells us in verse 10 here in Colossians chapter 2, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Complete in Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the head of all principality and power. "In whom also ye are circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ." Praise the Lord. We die out to the old man. We die out to our sins. We repent, in other words. And that's equivalent to circumcision that was required under the law. And in the Old Testament, even before the time of the law. Amen. And then it tells us in verse 12 here in Colossians 2, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." Oh, praise the Lord. We go down in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, and come up risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Oh, yes, and if we don't come up speaking in other tongues, praise the Lord, we have the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's told us in verse 13, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does. Oh, praise the Lord. We're quickened. We're made alive. Oh, praise the Lord. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Oh, we were without hope. We were without God in this world. We were condemned to the lake of fire. But praise the Lord, he wrought salvation. Oh, that's what Jesus Christ was doing on that cross. He was bringing forth salvation. He was redeeming his people. And he was triumphing over the devil. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, we can be quickened together. Oh, yes, made alive in Christ Jesus. Verse 14 tells us, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Oh, those things of the law that, oh, were so difficult to keep. Oh, praise the Lord, they were taken out of the way. Thank the Lord. But look at this, verse 15, and this is all how Jesus triumphed over the devil and his powers, his principalities, all those that are under that Lucifer, that devil, that old dragon. Oh, it tells us in verse 15, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Praise the Lord, there was a display in the heavenlies. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, he took over the realm of the enemy so that his people could have power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, with nothing hurting us by the power and grace of God, with our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that regardless of the things that happen on this earth, oh yes, that we have an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The devil's camp was spoiled. All his cohorts, all those principalities under the devil, all his dominions, all his power were spoiled at Calvary. and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, there was an open display that was made of them in the heavenlies. Oh, yes, yes. Almighty God triumphed over them in it. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we just get a little glimpse of the things that happened at Calvary. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we have so much to be grateful for. Oh, the wonderful gift of salvation that has been wrought, that has been given us. Oh, through the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. So, yeah, the princes of this world did not understand that in dying, Jesus was gaining great victory. He was making a way to redeem his people, a way that we could overcome this old world, the flesh and the devil. Praise the Lord, so we can walk with God, so we can have fellowship with him, that which was lost. Oh, when Eve listened to that beguiling of the old serpent, who was the devil, who enticed her. Oh my, what can we say? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, we've all, had those moments when, we were beguiled. The devil, through his subtlety, took advantage of us. But praise the Lord, oh, God made a way, despite the weakness of flesh, a way that we could live in victory, a way that we could overcome. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, looking at the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Oh, my. Oh, praise the Lord. It's the story of the church here. It tells us in verse 1 here in Revelation 12, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered." So I believe this is speaking of the birth of the Lord Jesus, and also which would give way to the birth of his church. His people, the ecclesia, the called out ones. The word church means ecclesia, called out ones. Oh, praise the Lord. So here's this great wonder that appeared. And oh, yes, there was the travail in pain to be delivered. And as this was happening, it tells us in verse 3, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Okay, and this is not necessarily chronological order exactly, but this is the story. As Jesus came into this earth, the devil, as the old dragon, was ready to devour the Christ, the anointed one. And yeah, we know there was that attempt made. We read of it in Matthew, the 2nd chapter. Those wise men that came to worship the Christ child. Oh yes, they came, and they had seen that great star, which they had followed. They understood that star would lead them to a great king, the great king of Israel, to their understanding. And of course, there was that desire for them to come and worship him. They didn't know exactly where to go. They realized, it would be somewhere in Israel. So they came to capital city, Jerusalem, and inquired. And, you know, it wasn't just three, like, you know, tradition. No, there's a multitude of wise men that have come into Jerusalem. Oh, yes. And there are concerns. Herod, when he sees this great multitude of kings from the east that have come in, he is troubled. He is worried. And, oh, my, they have come to ask him, where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. And Herod didn't know, but he got together the chief priests and the scribes, had them look into the scripture and inquire. Of course, the answer is in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, as it paraphrases it slightly here in verse 6, well, 5 and 6. And they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And oh my, this troubled Herod terribly, because, yeah, this was rather precise, you know, one that was to be born in Bethlehem. And also, you know, he sends Herod in his concerns because, you know, oh my, this is too much. You know, here they come, you know, here's one that's been born. He's going to take over, you know. So he sent his men to go and search diligently for the young child that had been prophesied of in Micah, the fifth chapter, in verse 2. And, oh, he told them to go and search diligently for the young child. And of course, he told the wise men, you know, I made it sound like, you know, yeah, you go find him. And then when, you know, you find him, then I will come and worship him. Of course, he was being facetious. He really, you know, that wasn't his plan at all. But anyway, praise the Lord, you know, the star appeared again so the wise men could leave Herod and all those that they had consulted and go forth to find the young child. And he was found. He wasn't a babe, but exactly, he was a young child at that point. Some time had passed, and you know, they came to the house where he was with Mary, his mother. They fell down and they worshipped him. They opened up their treasures and presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And after that, God warned them in a dream that they should not return to Herod, but rather depart into their own country another way. And after the departure, the angel of God came. He came to Joseph to tell him that he needed to leave Bethlehem. He needed to depart into Egypt to flee because they were going to seek the young child to destroy him. So praise the Lord. You see how God makes provisions? How God makes a way? I mean, everything is covered. The Lord knows how to cover his people, how to make a way of escape, and oh, how to lead us, how to guide us if we'll just walk with him. And listen to that still small voice that speaks to our souls. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, he told Joseph exactly what he needed to do. And of course, this was going to be something that had been prophesied, because in Hosea, the 11th chapter, verse 1, it talks about, out of Egypt have I called my son. So it would be as it had been prophesied. Of course, Joseph did so. He took the young child, his mother, fled into Egypt. And after a bit, Herod realized that he had been mocked of the wise men. They weren't going to come back and tell him where that young child was. No, they weren't. So what did he do? He sent out his men, being exceedingly wrathful, very, very angry, extremely angry. He sends out his wise men to slay all the children that were in Bethlehem, that were 2 years old and under, also in the coast thereof. Oh, yes. that which had been fulfilled, or that which had been prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah, might be fulfilled. Verse 18 here in Matthew 2. And Ramah was there, a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. Oh, it was a dreadful thing that followed. But God had made a way. Joseph had escaped into Egypt. The devil didn't know all that much, did he? Praise the Lord. Oh, no, the devil is restricted. Oh, praise the Lord. And God made a way that, oh, yes, his plan would go forth. But you see, you compare this to Revelation, the 12th chapter. See that plan, that attempt of the devil to devour that child, to take advantage of the young one as soon as it was born. Oh, praise the Lord. God is greater. God is mightier. And we know that that old devil, that dragon, as he is called in this chapter, had drawn the third part of the stars of heaven. That is talking about the angels. One third of them fell. One third of them went along with Lucifer and gave in to, you know, the conniving, his plan, you know, whatever all he promised them. They went with him and they fell too. So that's the reference there in verse 4, his tail drawing the third part of the stars of heaven, and to cast them to the earth. And then that dragon, which is the devil, he stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. But praise the Lord, oh, it did not happen. Oh, our God is mighty. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. There is no God like our God, and he knows how to deliver. Oh, yes, and his plan will come forth. Oh, yes, it will be done. It tells us here, and the woman fled into the wilderness. Well, I better read verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And so, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the ministry of Jesus Christ took place, didn't it? And oh, my, he is coming back again. This time he is coming to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Praise the Lord as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, the great God over all the earth. Praise the Lord. So, yes, his ministry was completed. And when it was accomplished, Jesus ascended back into the heavens. Oh, yes. And then, praise the Lord, he sent back his Spirit to indwell in his people the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. And it tells us in this 12th chapter of Revelation, verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And that's equivalent to 3.5 years. And I believe that could very well indicate that which we just read in Matthew, the 2nd chapter, when Joseph took the babe and his mother, Mary, into Egypt, where God had prepared a place for them, where all their needs were provided. Praise the Lord, and they survived the onslaught of the devil and all that happened following their flight into Egypt. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. But oh my, so much more happens. And this 12th chapter of Revelation is rather like a synopsis of the gospel kind of all put together here. And here, if we look at verse 7, and we've already covered some of these scriptures, it tells us here, and there was war in heaven. And this also covers the basis when we were talking about what happened in the heavenlies when Jesus was crucified. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Verse 8 tells us, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the old dragon, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Oh, praise the Lord. So this is the story. Oh, yes, as it's given here. And yes, that war in heaven, you know, when Jesus triumphed over principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, as we read in Colossians, that second chapter, verse 15, when he triumphed over them, praise the Lord. Oh, when, oh, yes, the armor was taken away from the devil and his angels. Praise the Lord. He was cast out. And there in verse 9, he's very clearly defined. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. As verse 8 tells us, their place was found no more in heaven. That's not any longer a privilege or a possibility by any means. And praise the Lord, you see the victory in all of this. Oh, praise the Lord, there's so much more to teach. But oh, we see the victory here. In verse 10 it says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Praise the Lord, Jesus came and fulfilled the will of God. Oh yes, all those prophetic utterances that had been foretold, every single one of them came to pass. And praise the Lord, that kingdom of our God that he came into this world to bring forth came forth. Amen. With that came salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God. Oh, a people that would come forth, sons and daughters that would worship and serve their God, that would bow before their God, surrendering their will. Verse 11 tells us, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Oh, praise the Lord. That 11th verse tells us how we overcome this old world. Oh, we are standing at the hour of great temptation. We're seeing great things coming to pass upon the face of this earth. But praise the Lord, we have the Word of God. And we know, praise the Lord, that there is an end to the conniving of the devil. Oh, yes. He's coming to an end. He's come down. He came down with great wrath because he knoweth that he hath but a short time, as it tells us in that 12th verse. But praise the Lord, Jesus gained the victory. He overthrew the powers of the devil. Praise the Lord, and praise the Lord, he gave ability through his blood, through his spirit, that his people might also triumph over the devil and his cohorts. Oh, yes, over all his realms, the principalities and powers. Oh, praise the Lord. And by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will prevail. We will overcome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. They overcame him. They overcame the devil. This is the people of God in verse 11. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Praise the Lord. That's how the church prevails. Praise the Lord. The Lord has given us of his spirit. Oh, yes, of his power, that we might, oh, yes, go forth putting our faith, our trust in a mighty God, the mighty God. Oh, the one who has defeated the devil, the one who has overcome the world. And praise the Lord, we are told, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, praise the Lord, that Holy Ghost power that he puts within his people is greater than the adversary. Oh, the old devil, the old devourer, the one, oh yes, that walks about seeking whom he may devour. But praise the Lord, we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, that word of our testimony, praise the Lord, by resisting steadfastly, as it tells us in 1 Peter 5, verse 9, whom resist steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Oh, praise the Lord, we can overcome. We resist the devil steadfastly. That means with authority. Oh, with firmness, we resist him, and we go forth to overcome. Praise the Lord, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And praise the Lord, loving not our life unto the death. No matter what it takes, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do his will. Oh yes, it may be hard. We might have to give up jobs. We might be quite alone. We might be an outcast. We might be put in prison. We might be beheaded. God only knows, but praise the Lord. Our Lord, our Savior, came into this world so we could triumph over the devil, so that we could overcome him. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And through the faith of Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, we are more than conquerors. Praise the Lord. With that faith that is the victory that overcomes the world, we can overcome. Praise the Lord. Our God came to this world and has given us his Spirit. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Amen. Love you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our melodies of praise hymnal, the number 294, and sing Victory in Jesus, number 294.
Jesus came and brought
has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Amen.